Now to Japan, where the current financial crisis is shaping up as the worst since World War II. Corporate giants like Sony, Toyota, and Canon have responded to the downturn by cutting hundreds of thousands of jobs. Most of those affected are temporary workers, who make up about a third of the nation's workforce. We've been reporting on how newly unemployed people around the world are coping. Today, NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports that job cuts in Japan have shed a light on poverty and inequality in that country.
It's a weekend morning at a park in Fuchu City, just west of Tokyo, and volunteers are providing free legal and employment advice and free folk music to the unemployed and the homeless. 53-year-old Yoichi Shima always thought that he'd retire from his job as a welder with a decent pension. Instead, he was laid off from his full-time job and then recently lost a temporary one. Now rail thin and dressed in a down jacket on a mild day, he looks down dejectedly.
I feel lonely and sad that society doesn't value my skills. Factories now want younger workers. I'm too old for them.
Japan deregulated labor laws during the 1980s and 1990s, and temporary workers grew from one-sixth of the labor force in 1990 to more than a third today. They often do the same jobs as regular workers, but get less pay and fewer benefits. The increase in temporary workers means that Japanese wages grow more slowly and consumers buy less. Koichiro Azuma, an economist at Tokyo's Tokyo Risho Junior College, is at the park. He points out that while temporary employees get little support from labor unions, deregulation gets powerful backing from the Keidanren, or Japan Business Federation, which represents corporate employers.
The federation said that career choices and lifestyles are changing fast, and more flexibility will make it easier for workers to change jobs. But it really only made it easier for employers to fire workers.
Japanese companies have long been known for providing lifelong employment and comprehensive welfare benefits. But critics say that's not the whole picture. They argue that Japan has many day laborers who have never known benefits or job security. 46-year-old Shijin Tanaka has drifted from job to job, a construction site here, a noodle shop there. Since losing his last job, he's spent his nights at internet cafes, where he rents a reclining chair for the equivalent of $20 a night. He says he tries not to think about why he's unemployed.
If I thought that I was fired unfairly, I'd probably get angry. But I don't want to do that, so blaming myself is much easier.
The homeless line up at a tent where volunteers serve up free plates of chicken wings and rice. Japanese call this a hakenmura, or village for laid-off temporary workers. Over the new year, some 500 unemployed people came to the first hakenmura in Hibiya Park, right in front of Japan's labor ministry. One commentator likened the villages to Hoovervilles, the U.S. Depression-era shanty towns. Published statistics for unemployment in Japan remain low by international standards at under 5%. But many Japanese now feel that deregulation has widened the gap between rich and poor. Koichi Nakano, a political scientist at Sophia University in Tokyo, says the villages have opened Japan's eyes.
The Hakemura incident really made the issue of poverty in Japan visible. And that also, I think, drove home to a lot of people that it's not somebody else's problem, but potentially theirs too.
Since the villages started appearing, Tokyo has promised to help the laid-off temporary workers. But Social Democratic Party Member of Parliament Nobuto Hosaka says the villages are providing services that the government has failed to.
The villages have certainly influenced the government, which has now included assistance for these laid-off workers in its budget. But they haven't created any new jobs for these people, and no money has reached these people yet.
Some analysts credit the villagers' organizers with a publicity coup. They point in particular to Makoto Yuasa, a veteran advocate for Japan's homeless. Speaking in a Tokyo cafe, he argues that Japan is blinkered in its view of poverty.
Ideas about self-reliance have hidden poverty in recent years. This view held that poor people were not making enough effort, so it was their fault and not society's. This idea remains strong in Japan today.
On his jacket, Yuasa wears a pin with a picture of a little ghost named Hinki. Hinki, Yuasa explains, comes from Hinkon, the Japanese word for poverty.
Poverty exists between the realms of the visible and the invisible. If we do not confront this social problem, Hinki will get angry and get big. If we do confront it, he'll be happy and go to heaven.
Yuasa says that the villages have served their purpose and will be phased out this summer. He himself will continue his work running a homeless shelter and looking for new ways of putting the issue of poverty on Japan's agenda. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Fuchu, Japan.